isn't bad going, considering that... Okay, how many of you here have ever tried to drive in Los Angeles traffic? Just show of hands. Okay. Yeah. Okay, how many of you here have ever tried to drive in Los Angeles traffic in downtown on Friday at 5 p.m.? Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'm not. So... okay, so yeah, we get people there. Our meeting's a little unusual. We actually meet in three different locations. We start off at Union Station, right in the middle of downtown. We're there from 5 to 7, which is the official 2600 meeting time. After that, we move to Philippe's Deli, which is about a block away. We're there till 10 when they close, but people don't start turning up till 8, which means that at 10 p.m. we move over to a Denny's by the scenic city jail, which is a great place to be hanging out at midnight when they start releasing folks. It gets real interesting. But generally, even though we're running that late, we still get a large number of people. Now, yeah, we're getting 45, 50 people a month turning up. The problem is we had one month where we actually had a grand total of 8 people turn up. We said, screw this, and went off and saw a movie. We needed to save it. Pretty much the problem was in Southern California, and a lot of other people were saying this as well, the scene was dying. They had no point of contact, no point of entry to actually talk to people about things they were interested in. So we started working on reviving it. The main thing that brought it back was we started printing flyers and updating the website regularly. And that's kind of brought people in. I know you guys were in pretty much the same boat.
Yeah. I'll give you some background on Salt Lake. Salt Lake 2600 meeting started in, I think it was 1996, with about 2 people going to a coffee shop every month religiously who were friends. But there was no advertising, there was no web page or anything like that, nothing in 2600 to say it was there. It was just kind of like, we're at a 2600 meeting. I moved from New York to Salt Lake City and was not aware that there was any, you know, scene in Salt Lake. Actually, there our slogan for 2600 Salt Lake City is, believe it or not, because everybody who shows up to the meeting thought they were the only one in Utah, and now we get an attendance of about between, I think it's like 35 to 40 people, which isn't bad considering, I'm gonna bash on here for a second. Utah has 2 million people in it. LA has
about, what, 8 million?
8 million people in it.
Huge number.
So we're almost at LA. So
yeah, I mean, geez, the simple fact you were able to bring that many people out of the woodwork. I mean, by numbers alone, if this is taken as a ratio, we should probably have about 160 people turning up every month. Something's being funky.
It's the metal badges.
I blame you.
But when I started going to the meetings, it was about 2.5 to 3 years ago. There were 7 people there or so. The first person I met was Almas of the DOC, who's hawking T-shirts in the vendor area right now. From the first time I went, I talked to one of the founders, Kenny of Hectic.org, and said, hey, I saw your page. It was like a one-page thing that said, this is where the meeting is, and this is where... what times we meet, blah, 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 same deal as, you know, default 2600 meeting times. I said, I'd like to do something with a little more content, maybe get some pictures up there, contact information for people who come to the meeting. I don't know how many people here attend 2600 regularly or at all. All right, if you go to a 2600 meeting and you meet somebody and you're like, you can meet 30 people and then there's one person that you really connect with on something, or there's a project you'd like to work on together, and then you forget their handle, you know, Super Ultra Ninja Killer or something like that, and you're like, I can't remember that dude's handle. And but you'd like to get in contact with them. So when I would go to the meetings, anybody who was new, I'd take down their handle, email address, website, and, you know, put it on the page. We don't do that anymore because if you can't remember, I'm just tired of collecting email addresses. But when we first started out, it was good because it got people back together. If someone fell out of the meeting for a month, then they'd get an email from the person who was like, hey, you were talking about that project and I really wanted to talk to you about it. Oh, okay, I'll be at the next meeting. And so people just started coming together. I started printing up flyers, putting them in the issues of 2600 at... Barnes & Noble, Borders, dropping them in technical schools and the CS departments of local colleges and whatnot. And we started getting attendance. People were coming a lot more. but we were starting to attract a lot of the script kiddie slash scene whore group. Now, our attendance was up, and that was great, and we thought, hey, look at us. We have, you know, these big numbers. But the percentage that was actually there to talk about things that were technical or even talk about anything constructive at all was probably about half. Like, everyone would go off into little groups and talk about things, and there was the, you know, the guys who would run around and try to, you know, hey, dude, hello, I got this, I got that, yeah. I'm talking about, you know, and... So it got to the point where we had all these people, and there was someone who showed up at the meeting one time. A guy never contributed, anything like that. He shows up. He leaves the food court. We have it in a food court, a pretty large one, and we're back in the corner, so we don't bother anybody. But he shows up and says, and he goes off out into the mall, and he comes back with a couple cell phones. And apparently he'd stolen the cell phones from the kiosks out there, and he decided it would be a good idea to come back to the 2600 meeting and take these apart. And he starts ripping them apart, and, you know, he's like 16, 17 years old, and at the time I'm like 21, and I'm like, you're an idiot. I'm the one who's going to get in trouble for this, not you, you know. They'll just slap you and throw you out of the mall. But I brought you here. So I was fed up at that point with that kind of attitude there at the meeting, and I talked to some of the founders, and I said, I'm going to lay the smack down. I'm just going to say, look, here's how it's going to be. We're going to have structure. For the first hour, talk about whatever you want. Talk about movies. Oh, did you see Minority Report? Did you see, you know, whatever? And then starting at 6 o'clock, we have talks. I get on everybody, some of the Salt Lake guys are here in the front row. They will attest to the fact that I will get on their case about, dude, write a talk. Come on, you got to write something. You know, you haven't written anything in almost a year. And at 6 o'clock, they start giving their talks. And when those are over, the conversation starts again. But since we had those talks, it lends to more technical discussions. And I basically have said, if you don't want to listen to the talks, it's a big food court. Go over there and talk over there, but do not talk while someone else is talking. I mean, yeah. You know, honestly, let's be mature and have some manners. It takes a lot to put together a talk, and then even more to get up in front of a group of people and present it. So have respect for the people who are there. If you don't like it, go away. But that became self-policing. The technical-minded people have... taken over the meeting again. I did a talk that was the first talk ever was last April, and it was called "Script Kiddies and Scene Whores: How Not to Be One and Why We Hate Them." And it was based off of.
good point.
You know, the talk is mirrored on 2600slc.org, which is our meeting site. All of the talks that are given at the meeting are on that site under texts. So I presented this thing, and it was based off of Pyro and Shatter did a talk called Fact the Kitties at DEF CON 8, where they basically laid it down and said, this is how you should behave, and you don't have anything to prove. Let people think you're an idiot. Don't open your mouth and prove it.
Yeah, I mean, people have this strange idea that the minute you send them to a 2600 meeting, it's a license to behave like a complete and utter tit. The mind boggles. I don't understand this. It's like, you know, the normal bounds of society suddenly don't apply. And then they look really shocked when there's all these angry people turning on them, going, what the hell are you doing? You know, you are not wanted here because of your behavior. They don't seem to get this. And it's very much a double-edged sword. You know, you turn up, you act like a dick, people aren't going to want you there. They don't seem to understand this.
Yeah. One of the things is, like, if we don't want you there, if you're not there, like, if you can come and not contribute, and that's fine if you're learning or you're interested in learning, but if you're sitting there and stealing things from inside the mall and going and breaking them apart at our meeting, then, you know, I have no patience for unintelligent people. So it's like we laid it down. Some people were kind of iffy on it at first. They're like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, I like just going and being social with people and whatnot, but after about 6 months, when they saw the decline in, you know, the morons basically, and that the discussions that we had were becoming more tech related or you know, just learning from each other and being able to say I don't know is huge when you go to anything. I don't know is okay. I don't know if anybody knows that, but
yeah.
We have a guy who's really good at that. Like, everyone, it'll be like, does everybody know what the network OSI model is? And everyone will sit there and go, yes, yes, I do. And they really don't. And then someone will go, no, I have no idea. And it's like, cool. And you explain it really quick. And now everyone else can understand because one guy had enough balls to say, I don't know. So, I don't know.
I was just going to say, you know, asking questions, you're not tainting yourself as appearing ignorant. Everybody doesn't know everything. I certainly don't. Grifter doesn't. Nobody else does.
Speak for yourself, dude.
You know, we won't get into what happened with the radios yesterday. But if you don't ask questions, you're not going to learn anything, and you're not going to get anything out of it. And if you're not encouraging people to ask questions, the meetings are going to go to hell. You know, you're going to have a bunch of people sitting around drinking coffee and talking about the DVD they rented at Blockbuster last night.
Yeah, agreed. Basically, where the resurrecting the scene, how many people even believe that there still is a scene to that is attached to this? Are there a few stragglers?
Okay.
The hangers-on. These are the people who will carry this into the future, the ones who don't think it's dead or it's not impossible to bring back. Hackers came out in 1995, and the scene took quite a shot in the gut.
Well, that, and the fact that anybody with $500 to spare can walk down to CompUSA, buy a cheap computer, plug it into their phone line, and they're now online. And that was the real thing that started bringing about the demise of everything, because, you know, let's face it, the internet is pretty much the full scope of what most people focus on in terms of hacking. And hacking, to me, is not purely about the internet. It's about finding ways of doing things that were previously thought not possible. By giving people basically cheap all-you-can-eat internet access, that's what the focus became. How many people do you still think are playing with the phone system, for example? I mean, there are some people out there doing it, but it's really bubbled under everything because the focus has shifted, and the focus has become very narrow. One good thing about the meetings is you actually get a chance to bring the people in who are interested in all these different aspects of hacking and get them together and talk and actually show that there is a focus out there.
And a sharing of ideas
and
of ideals. Where it comes in with resurrecting the scene, where I want to move our 2600 meeting to, like, we've taken the steps to have the structure and to start doing the talks, and they're mirrored on the website, and we have, you know, the news section that's updated and photos from the meeting. You can go to the Salt Lake City website and actually, like, know what went on there, because everything is there. The talks are there. You can see who was there, and you can read about what happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, conversely, you know, Salt Lake has a pretty good structure to how everything works in terms of the flow of the time of the meeting. We don't really tend to do that. What generally happens is on the mailing list, people start throwing out ideas, talking about it, turn up at the meeting, and it's like, okay, everybody who was interested in the wireless stuff we were talking on the list, go over here. And they'll take over a corner of the meeting. And, you know, people will wander in and out, but you'll have a core group of people who are actually interested in what's going on, and everybody else is off doing their own thing, which also works for us. I mean, it's all in the context of how the meeting's being set up and run.
I think as far as our meetings go, where we're going with this, do people still read 2600 anymore? Can I get a show of hands who reads 2600? All right. See, so there's people out there. Whenever I say, for instance, on FNET, I joined Pound 2600 and say, because I heard that one of the talks I gave at 2600 was published, I said, does anyone have the new issue of 2600? Now, this is in Pound 2600. Oh, man, that's a bunch of crap. You still read that? Oh, you kiddie, blah, blah. I'm like,
yeah,
what the hell?
This is also on irc.2600.net, I should point out. So, yeah.
Yeah, which is dead now.
That's been up and down for a while, but yeah.
But I think where people need to take it is getting that back to where it used to be. A lot of people say it's a political rag. Some people say, well, that's good. I like the fact that it's a political rag because I can find out all the politics that I need to find out about that involve technology through 2600. And, like, I'm not going to sit here and bash 2600 all day, but, yeah, I think it's a little too political. Yeah. I don't read the editor's comments anymore. I read the articles, the ones that are good.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that the LA meeting specifically has been trying to do is sort of divorce itself from all of the, well, political bullshit that's going on in the magazine. You know, we very much understand what the magazine is meant to be about, what it's meant to represent. And I can't speak for everybody necessarily, but I can say that personally, I do feel that it's moving away from its technical focus. And so what we've tried to do is very much keep ourselves neutral on that and basically keep the politics out of hacking. Politics is something that's personal. It doesn't have a put it this way. I don't spend my $5 on the magazine because I want a consciousness raising session. I want source code. And that's really what it comes down to. Well, that's a good point. Actually, would you mind saying it a bit louder for the benefit of the cameras? That's a good point. And there are definitely things such as the DMCA that cross both boundaries that are both political and hacking related. And I'm certainly not going to deny that. However, I don't feel that hacking should be about politics. I feel that it should be about hacking and improving things. How the improvements are done, that's another question.
Having an article.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say it's a very wide-ranging debate. I'd be happy to talk about it with you afterwards.
Yeah, you can go for hours on that one. But there's a difference between having an article about the EFF or having an article about the DMCA versus having a magazine with 4 to 5 to 6 articles about the DMCA, 4 to 5 to 6 articles about the EFF, things like that. You know, EFF's a great organization. I just don't want to read a book about it every quarter. But everybody complains about it, but nobody does anything about it. So that's where, like, the talk that I did got published. It's on dumpster diving. And I said, hey, you know, what the hell? I'll take this one, I'll submit it, and I'll see if they publish it. And I'd like to see our text area of our website that says, you know, like, I have a list of all the different talks that have been given over the last year, and I'd like to see things like, you know, published in the winter 2003, or, you know, published in spring of 2003, next to it, taking these technical talks and getting them out there for everyone to see.
Well, actually, you're making another good point here peripherally. The things you cover don't have to be ultra high level, you know, uber technical things. You know, not everybody needs to have source code thrown at them. There are a lot of things out there like dumpster diving that people still, you know, you can't go. I've had people say to me, "Oh, you can't go dumpster diving." Like, you know, dumpster diving is a logical impossibility. Okay. Now, let me see. Okay, dumpster, open, trash. Climb in, grab stuff, go away. You know, you can do it. And people don't seem to realize that a lot of what relates to hacking is really basic stuff like that. And there's a lot of people who need to know about it, because if they don't hear about it, they're never going to go any further. It's going to give them the push to start looking into things a little bit more than they are already. Sorry, you have a question?
Yeah, who is this?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
This 2600 magazine that one of the largest groups is trying to divorce themselves from it? Like, who's putting out the magazine?
The magazine and the meetings are two separate beasts. The magazine begat the meetings, basically. They started in New York City about, what, 86, 7?
I think so.
Possibly a little sooner. I'm not sure. But, you know, the idea of the meetings then spread. I guess what it comes down to is a case of the views of the management do not necessarily represent those of its employees. The other thing you have to remember, too, is 2600 isn't a group. 2600 is a magazine. And even though, you know, we're having our meetings under the 2600 name, we're no more a part of them than we are the Shriners. So, should give you some idea on that.
Doing things like you said, like sharing the culture with people, things like that, I'd like to see people take what others have out there. Update your websites if you're planning to have a meeting. That's critical. If people don't see that your website's being updated on a regular basis, they won't come, because if it says last updated, what was that, 1996?
Yeah. While back, I was going through, I was actually hitting up every single meeting homepage that 2600 had listed on their site. I just wanted to see what other people were up to. You know, I was just curious, like, okay, you know, how does the meeting in Topeka get along? You know, and poking around. And, yeah, we found one that was still listed as active, and they hadn't updated the website in, you know, 6 years. which is a little frightening because, well, if you've got anybody who wants to turn up to it, they're going to look at it and go, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, it's probably dead, or the people who ran it aren't even there anymore.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that happen, like see people starting to do things where you can go and find out what they did and what they talked on and have it there and be able to, if I don't feel like writing something every month, it would be nice to be able to go to, you know, the New York City or the LA 2600 and pull one of their talks off of their website and say, the guys from LA did this. This is what we're going to talk about. Maybe somebody who's sitting there listening to that will get something else. Then they'll go to the website, grab it, make some changes, submit it back to the author of the original talk, and it just gets better and better from there.
Yeah.
Things just improve. The ideas become better, and people get smarter is basically what it comes down to. As a group, as a whole, we're a lot more intelligent than we are standing alone.
So. Yeah, I mean, this is also something that's very important. You need to get in touch with the other groups, not just in your area, but on a wider basis. You know, if for some reason... Actually, can I have that, please?
I want that.
I'm real thirsty. There. Thanks. 1 second.
We're both drinking.
Yeah. Okay, I can speak again. Yeah, this is one thing that's important, is to go to other meetings that are being held that you know about. Reason being, you know, it's a good idea to see what other people are up to, but... It also helps to reestablish the community by doing that. I've been to a lot of 2600 meetings in different cities, both inside and outside. All right, I'm going to die here. Both inside and outside the U.S. And really establishing that contact and keeping it firm is pretty essential. Without it, you know, there won't be an underground. You have to have people in contact with each other who can exchange ideas.
I don't have to. All right. I totally agree with what he's saying. Getting out there, I don't have the time. Sorry, you know. But we have had people come visit our meetings and come from other places around the country, and they're like, "Wow, you know, you guys really have your act together. You're doing something here. You know, that's great. Oh, I wish my 2600 meeting was like this." And you know, my simple question is, why isn't it? It doesn't take much, because you know.
Yeah,
for the sake of making myself sound like an idiot, if I can do it, anybody can. So, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, essentially, a stable meeting location, a website that gets updated regularly, and a mailing list. Those are the three main things you're going to need to actually set it up and keep everybody together and things going.
Or an IRC channel.
Yeah.
Or two.
Four. Yeah.
But, does anybody have any experiences they want to share as far as their meetings, how their meetings are structured and whatnot?
I'm from Oklahoma City. What we tried recently is kind of dividing it, like you said, is a good idea. When I first started showing up, it was just kids running around the mall. We moved to a smaller coffee shop where the guy was real cool, gave us electricity, and we had a wall to project on. And then we said, you know, y'all talk to each other, whatever. A half an hour printer conversation, half an hour hacker computer conversation, half hour political conversation. Patriot Act, other political things.
Yep.
And that's pretty cool, because the guys, like you're saying, some white guys and the printer guys, they start pulling out all this equipment and really dropped everybody's horizon. It's been working out really well.
See, that's great. I mean, perfect example. You just go, and if you're just hanging out in a food court, that's what you're doing. You're not having a 2600 meeting. You're hanging out in the food court. You know, it's like... What's the difference there?
Yeah, I mean, if you're
both
actually
equally lame.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing too. You need to pick your location. You need to do two things with your location. You need to pick it well. You got to have somewhere stable, because I know you guys are meeting in a food court.
Yeah.
Pretty much, we can't do that. There's no mall in downtown LA, and you know, trying to find a meeting place in Los Angeles is great because, well, just the acreage of the place, it's massive. So we pick somewhere mutually inconvenient to everybody, which is downtown. But pretty much, you know. You meet in a coffee shop. You can make yourselves noticeable because you're in a smaller setting. You stand out a little bit more. The other thing too is you've got to keep good relations with where you're meeting. If you burn your hosts, you know, ultimately you don't own the meeting location. They're just going to kick you out and tell you never to come back, and that's their prerogative. You've got people stealing things, breaking things, running around molesting the other customers, you know, swinging dead cats over their heads and chanting yabba yabba yabba.
They're not. Be surprised how often that happens.
Yeah. Seriously, but we won't get into that. No, seriously, you know, if they don't like you, they're just going to kick you out, and, well, the meeting's screwed then.
Yeah, definitely be on good terms. We didn't ask to use the food court. We just kind of happened upon it. And like I said, when it was there, there were like 7 people. They didn't care. And now that there's like 40, they started to notice. And they like the security guards would come by and they're like, oh, you're having your computer meetings again. And they haven't. Yeah, I saw you guys here last week. We're like, all right. They still haven't figured out it's the first Friday of every month.
Yeah.
So... Maybe we're just still there because they don't know when to catch us.
Actually, there's a question there.
Does it have to be on that Friday? Could it be another day of the week? It's really hard when the place that you may be using or the people that would most be interested in that are into miniature gaming and to other miniature role playing
sure.
and stuff like that. You got a lot of competition for
sure.
Fridays, period.
Well, Let me give you an example on that. We're using the first Friday analogy simply because that's when 2600 meetings are supposed to happen.
No, but I heard that we are supposed to. Okay, it doesn't have to be that.
No.
No, I mean, you can do it anytime. I mean, to give you some example, we've got a BBS meet that a bunch of us go to every Tuesday night. And, you know, we turn up in the pizza place, we eat pizza, try not to leave too much of a mess. But it's actually interesting you mentioned the role-playing people because, yeah, back in the other corner away from us, we've got another group that... They're role-playing people. They meet there the same night we do. So it's entirely a possibility. I mean, you know, you can't say, like, what day you're going to have your meeting on. You just do it when it's most convenient for everybody involved.
And, again, we're talking about 2600 meetings because we both run them, but it doesn't have to be a 2600
yeah.
meeting. You can say, you know, it's the whatever meeting and have it on any day you want. It's not a necessity. Although I do recommend consistently using either the same day of the month or like, you know, 2600 is the first Friday,
yep.
Doing something like that so that people, you know to show up that time.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Yeah.
There you go.
Or it's like, you know, people call the payphones at VLA meet occasionally. And it's like, you know, last month this guy calls up and he's like, you know, is that the 2600 meeting? I'm like, no, sorry, it's 2602. Let me go next door and get them. I set the phone down, stand there for a couple minutes, you know, like, 2600. It's like, oh, wow, you guys are really here. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, people keep calling us and people keep calling the guys next door. I don't know, I guess they got the number wrong in the magazine or something, but, you know, the correct number is. And then I gave him the number of the payphone next to me. Well, he's like, oh, okay, sorry about that. So, you know, hang up. 5 minutes later, sure enough, you know, the other payphone rings. He's like, oh, and I forgot to ask you.
You're like,
oh, well, you got the right number now, so.
So, anybody, go ahead.
Yeah, how does the meeting once a month work out? Do you guys want to meet more often? You said you do the BBS. One thing we do is we meet the first Friday and every third Saturday at a different location, hopefully a little closer. We try to do that.
We don't particularly have, like, a structured meeting. Like, we have the 2600 meeting. And then, like, we're pretty much separated by about a half an hour each way. But we all get together at one guy's house, Deadhead, who's sitting in the front row down over here. And he's got a lot of land right on the, like, right near Salt Lake. So we have trash fires is what we call them.
Yeah.
We go out there and we have basically bonfires and we talk about things like why hasn't virtual reality taken off and stuff. And we just dork out till 3 a.m. and then go home. So.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we do the same usual sort of get-together stuff other people do. Like, somebody would be like, hey, I'm having a barbecue this weekend. You know, y'all swing on by. And, you know, stuff like that that's pretty informal. Yeah. Our meeting, well, depends on what time you get there. The official LA meeting is at Union Station, the train station in the middle of downtown. We're only there for 2 hours. We then move over to Philippe's Deli down the street and then over to the Denny's by the jail.
So you really don't want to get there and answer the problem?
Exactly.
Well, here's my view on this. And now, if this is any of you out here, then I apologize for bashing on you, but I'm about to. You come to DEF CON and you sit in the hallway with your laptop. You can be on the internet 362 other days out of the year. Shut the damn laptop and go talk to somebody in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say that since I drove out here from L.A. Thursday morning, my laptop has been powered for a grand total of 20 minutes because I had to grab a piece of software that completely failed at programming the radios I was trying to program.
Yeah, and I turned mine on to dump the images off the memory stick onto the laptop while I'm running around taking pictures.
I was going to say, that's the whole point of the meetings. It's social interaction. It's to get people together face-to-face so they can actually talk.
I'll guarantee there's somebody sitting in a hallway out here that's talking to someone else in a hallway over there. It's like, where are you? I'm at DEF CON. Where? I'm in the DJ room. Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. I'm out in the hallway by the vendor area. Sweet. Emoticon, you know? But
it's like you know, when you're living with your roommates and you realize you're both on the same IRC channel at the same time and there's about 4 feet of air separating you between the cinder block wall. You know, this is the same syndrome we're seeing here. So, meeting somewhere without internet access, I would actually say is a good thing.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Well, if they're going to be on the internet, then maybe there's a larger problem. I mean, is that possible where it's like, or...
How do you mean? I'm not catching.
Well, it's like, if they're going to come to a meeting and just sit on the internet, let them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's what they feel like doing, then that's fine.
Sure.
If they want to sit over in the corner and talk on AOL Instant Messenger to their mom somewhere or whatever, then that's great, you know. Everybody needs a hobby. So, we're not, as long as they're not sitting there having that, annoying AIM sound going off every 2 seconds while someone's giving a talk, then more power to you, sit in the corner if you want to. Then they won't learn anything. I mean, that's great. If they like to come to the food court once a month and sit on the internet, then you know, everybody, it's a free country.
Yeah, I mean, and
for now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's only natural people are going to turn up and bring their laptop or whatever, because you know, it's like a couple months ago, I couldn't figure out why the hell Window Maker would not build on my laptop. To this day, somehow it did it. It works. It shouldn't, but that's another story. But yeah, people will turn up and you know they'll bring their machines and say like, hey, take a look at this, or hey, do you know anything about this? And that's fine. You know, I've got no problem with that. It's just internet access. Put it this way, the internet has become the current equivalent to video rental in the 1980s. It's something to switch off to. It's passive entertainment. And really, if you're going to the meeting to do that, why not just save yourself the time and travel and stay at home and sit on AOL Instant Messenger there?
Everybody you're talking to on IRC is probably going to be at the meeting anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well go and just talk to them. Any more questions or any experiences? There's a million of them. Here, right there.
Another one of the sessions, one of the guys from the school group had a little plug-in.
See, there you go. There, another meeting. There are alternatives to a 2600 meeting. The reason we do a 2600 is because it's there. It's established. People know what a 2600 meeting is. And, you know, and hopefully someday then, you know, security geeks will all gather around under different, you know, names. But
how do you keep, like, what would be the best way to keep someone
okay.
Did everybody
beatings
hear the question?
And the threat of more beatings to come is very effective.
You know, honestly, yeah, it kind of works. I find that the way to deal with people who are just being completely rude and obnoxious is public humiliation.
Yeah.
They're sitting around with about 30 of their peers, and hey, while it may not be the right thing to do, it works for me, so I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we had one guy who used to...
Humiliation works. The chances are they're just not smart enough, and if you actually sit down and take 5 minutes to tell a little something about
what
you know...
Oh, no, good
point. That's a great point. What... go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, pretty much, to give you an example of that, we had one guy who used to turn up at our meetings semi-regularly. And I swear to God, this guy, he looked like he was Johnny Lee Miller's stand-in in Hackers, okay? Now, he also had a little bit of the I am Mr. Uberlead Super Ninja Hacksword dude about him, okay? And he and I are talking, and you know, it's one of these things where it's like I'm the first person to turn up at the meet because I can juggle my work schedule so that I'm always there on Friday. Pretty much, you know, we're sitting there talking, and in amongst telling me how lead he is, he's like, oh, I got a problem with my laptop I can't figure out. I'm like, okay, well, whatever, show me. Turns the thing on, and Windows 98 can't find the Windows driver model driver for his sound card. Now, this guy hands me the thing, and I'm like, dude, yeah, you're hosed. And sit there and promptly fix it for him and hand it back to him. And, you know, that was a good object lesson in teaching him, if you can't fix your goddamn sound card problem, don't tell me how much you know, because you don't. And he, you know, after that he calmed down. I mean, he was a pretty decent guy.
That's like, if somebody, you can be a total tool as much as you want to be, but people won't respect you. If somebody was being a complete idiot for the first 2 to 3 months they came to the meeting and then realized that they were being an idiot and came up and said, hey, look, you know, I was being stupid and I just want to be here to learn, then it's like, you know what, that's cool. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not saying that because you were stupid once you're an outcast for life, although as far as the group goes, the damage has probably already been done. So it's like, keep your mouth shut and listen for a little while. Yeah.
I actually got one there.
Okay. That's a couple of comments. Keeping people, you know, like out there, like just being annoying or breaking cell phones. Actually, one thing that happened at the meeting I go to the LA one is we had this one guy who's his first time here, was completely oblivious to audience being walked up to and meets through a bunch of other people. Yes, this is Cozy Center meeting. Oh no, it's back over there. The guy actually went back into the area where the meeting was. He stayed there for about half an hour, so he said to someone to tell him.
Yeah.
And another thing that's actually sort of interesting to bring up the technical stuff is another thing that happens at the LA meeting is people always bring old parts and stuff we don't need anymore in case someone else needs them. You just dump them on a table and people pick them up.
So that's a good thing. Like even hardware hacking, like whatever you're into, somebody out there will be interested in the same thing. And to like touch on what you said about like, you know, saying, oh, the meeting's not here. That's like how many people heard DEF CON is canceled, it's postponed.
Yeah. Okay, this is what I love. Gosh. I heard DEF CON was canceled from some people on IRC. Is this true?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't go to DEF CON. It's not happening. It's over. If it was on FNET, yeah, it was true.
IRC is real life.
Actually, just 1 second. We'll get you. We have some giveaways here from the people at Unix Surplus. I personally would call it a doorstop, but it's actually a Spark IPX and some kind of external SCSI enclosure here. So good questions get prizes.
There you go.
So go ahead.
Have you had any inquiries or interference from local law enforcement? Local law enforcement?
Actually, interesting you mention that. Every once in a while, and by and large. They're not real interested in us. They don't care. Yeah, funnily enough. The LA field office, the FBI, just to touch on this a little bit, is pretty well aware that we're just a bunch of geeks getting together. We're not the problem. You know, we could potentially be the problem. But, you know, it was like, okay, something happened. Oh, that was other kids. So, yeah, we do.
Yeah, we.
Yes and no. This is one other thing. There's a lot of people out there right now who do not have the maturity or self-control to understand the ramifications of what they do. To give you an example, there were some people making phone calls to Afghanistan on stolen government emergency telephone system cards a while back. They very wisely chose to do this on September 13th, 2001. Now, these people assumed that, oh, yeah, they'll never find us.
You can probably kick them out of your meeting.
Well, actually, they weren't actually part of our meetings. They were just other kids. They were just other kids sort of in the area. And it was made very plain to them that their actions were unacceptable. And what it came down to was they didn't have the foresight to be able to understand how what they're doing would affect other people. And, you know, they're now known as persona non grata.
Well, as far as the 2600 Salt Lake City goes with law enforcement, we haven't really had any problems. We get the mall security, like I said, who comes by, and like there's a picture one time I had them handcuff me, and they were really like nervous that they were gonna break my wrist or something. And so they're pretty cool with it on that in that respect. We've had like when back last August we did the protest for Dimitri. And we had Salt Lake Police, the Highway Patrol, and the state troopers. Like, it was like, we've got nothing to do. Let's all go see what these dorks are doing on the corner. You know, like, so, and once you explain that you're, you know, people pretty much think, don't say hacker. Say, we're just a bunch of geeks. Because geeks are harmless.
Yep.
Even the road trip, we were getting ready to leave. We're all in the parking lot of a diner. And the cops show up. There were some people that were out there before we walked out that were like kicking cars as they went by because they were completely drunk. But so they leave and then we go out and the cop thinks that that's us, you know? And we're like, no, we're just total dorks on our way to Vegas. And so, you know, the cop's like, really, you know? And we're like, yeah, we're going to a computer convention. He's like, all right, well, you guys have a good night.
Yeah.
So, you know, a bunch of geeks in a parking lot at 2 in the morning strapping wireless antennas to a van.
Actually, guy in the blue cap.
How are you doing with situations like the cell phone?
I don't have any patience for that. If somebody's doing something illegal or if they're breaking something, I get real ugly real quick. So it's usually taken care of immediately.
Yeah, I mean, usually a real quiet, just taking them off to the side and saying, listen, man, you know, you're not wanted here.
Yeah, you don't necessarily, like, just flat out, you make it well known that they're unwelcome.
And you let everybody else know so that if they see the guy around again, they don't, you know, they don't drag him back. They don't bring him around.
All right. Or you have him get his docs or something.
Yeah.
No.
The other thing is law enforcement.
I mean, this is the other thing. You know, the place where we meet, we're right next to a main fire station. We're in downtown. We get cops in and out of there just having lunch. You know, it's the middle of their shift, they're hungry, they're going to grab a sandwich. And these guys, they know we're there, we know they're there. Who cares? You know, they don't even notice us. We're just other people in the restaurant. Yes. Okay. How did that happen? Yeah, I mean that's the whole thing about policing yourself. You know, if you've got people who are causing problems, you've got to get them out of there because it's going to come down on everybody else ultimately.
Yeah, it does you no good to have the meeting shut down because one person is an idiot. Well, yeah, basically, he made a good point. He said, if you don't police yourself, the cops will. So you just, like I said, though, when it gets to the point to where you have, like, a technical agenda and you say, like, you know, or some kind of structure to a meeting where people discuss things, generally the people who are going to cause problems or are, you know, just there to be stupid won't go because they have, if there's only one of them, they have no one else to feed off of. You know, idiots are great when there's two of them, you know, feeding each other on. But when there's one of them and a bunch of intelligent people, they get really uncomfortable really fast, and they'll usually head on out the door or just not show up the next month. So it becomes a self-policing meeting.
And we need to start giving stuff away.
Yeah, let's give stuff away.
Actually, I think
do you
I saw.
A question?
Oh,
wait.
You can come up here and battle it out for the question, and we'll give you a spark.
You get somebody as good looking as us. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good, you know, if you figure it out, you let us know.
Post it on the website.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Okay, what do you want, a spark or an enclosure? No, seriously, you are taking one of these, okay?
So, you've got to have it. You're not sticking us with it.
Can I have a question?
Sure.
Sure.
Can I have a spark?
I gotta give him credit for being ballsy.
Yeah, that is.
How about an enclosure?
I can grab it if you want.
Nobody else wants it.
Hang on.
Cool. Heads. You don't get it, dude. Sorry. Hey, that was very democratic of us, all right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Call and yeah, I really did come up tails in case anybody's
could,
wondering.
We have a bunch of them at the scavenger hunt table. Go over there and register a team and win the scavenger hunt, and you'll get a couple of them. So. There you go. Anybody else? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was wondering if you could describe any successes with keeping up members through either mailing lists or getting people in.
If people are interested, they'll stay. I mean, it's not like growing plants. You know, you don't water and feed them. If people like what's going on, they'll come back.
And as far as getting new members, you know, do the flyer thing. You know, update the website, get yourself listed in the back of 2600. And even like a message board or something like that would be good. And then when you get to a point to where you have like 30 some odd, 40 some odd members, people just start showing up. Word of mouth will get it around. So. We don't really work on group projects as like a 2600 group. Like there are individual groups within our 2600 meeting, like the Hectic Crew and ZZQ. Our groups rhyme. But our accomplishments are getting this out there, getting like all the talks. Like as we have DVD ripping the right way, intro to ham radios, basics of footprinting, pirate radio. Trace route explained, VNC, the art of laziness.
Actually,
stuff like that. We just get the information out there, and that's what we're trying to accomplish with it.
This is actually touching on something else that's a pretty good point. You can come up with projects out the wazoo all you want. I mean, you can sit there and you come up with project after project after project, and you can't make people do them. If people are interested, they'll latch onto them, but you can't say, like, you know, this month we're going to, and expect everybody to sit there and, you know, turn in the little worker hive and build or do or whatever.
You can't get a bunch of people who don't like programming to sit around and program. So, yeah.
Yeah. Int main. Ooh, beer.
Anyone?
So one thing I thought was a good point was when I first started going to meetings, a lot of my aliases that seemed really important to them, and it really helped the structure of the deal to get everybody's first name, literally, out in the open. Because that didn't discourage the people that were there doing the business thing either.
I don't like my first name, so I'm Grifter.
I don't like his first name either. It's pretty bad.
So he's screwed.
I was actually going to ask the same question. Did any conflict put in people's handles and photos online? Did anybody mention anything like they don't want their photo online?
I couldn't hear what you said.
Putting people's handles and their picture online.
Uh-huh.
Any conflict?
No, we always ask. Like, you know, if you don't want to be on there, you get a blurred face. If you don't want to be on there, then, you know, you don't have to be. It's not like.
Yeah.
And like I said, that part of the site we don't even use anymore. So.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have much in the way of pictures of people up there. I mean, we've got like our 10th anniversary pictures. You know, and it's pretty much a case of, it's a meeting. You're supposed to be turning up. You know, if you don't know anybody there, it's not going to do you any good to have the faces beforehand. But you know, like you said, for the sake of knowing the guy you were talking to last month, it makes sense.
Yeah, and for the most part, all the pictures that we take each month, like, I put a little description of what it is if I can think of something witty, so, which it usually isn't. But any other questions?
I don't know, but I think we should give that guy something because he's got the number 23 on his shirt.
What's the location and time
in Salt Lake City? Same as, you know, regular. It's Friday, first Friday of the month, 5 to 8. And then afterwards, if you're smart and invited, there's a after meeting at a bar. So you actually have to have been on a BBS at some point in your life to go to that. And it's at the food court just in the ZCMI Mall in Salt Lake. So it's in the back of the magazine. Let's give this stuff away and get out of here.
Okay, so, who looks most deserving of an item?
Let's make them do something stupid.
Okay. Let's see.
Battle of the Geeks for spark.
No, that's just sad and boring. I've seen that happen before.
We should just give that guy the spark.
Let's give him the spark.
Just give me. You can come get the spark, man.
Yeah, we
come get the spark.
You are worthy of the spark. No, come on up. Come on up.
Camera check.
Okay. All right.
Oh, now you're just being difficult. Let's give it to somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Ooh, caddy loader. No caddy. So this fine SCSI enclosure. Okay, who will do something stupid and/or demeaning for it? holding up a laptop is neither stupid nor demeaning, sir.
But it's Red Hat.
Yeah, you know. Okay, the Red Hat guy gets the enclosure.
All right. We're done. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks, folks.